All right. Every one of you should have a very thorough and complete handout on your chair. And you need something to write with. I know I say that just about every time we get together, but no, really, you need something to write with. So if you don't have something, if you would just slip to the back and grab a pencil, that would be delightful. Just to mention, I forgot to announce as well that Kyle won his football game on Friday. There, that's a little better. Kyle was only sad that they weren't playing a better team because they pretty much stomped them into the ground. And I think, as far as I could tell, Clay and Sarah won the band portion of the outing. They're actually pretty good. Sarah did this one thing with her trumpet where she plays, and then she goes down and she comes out and she goes, ah. And I was hoping she'd be here this morning and I could embarrass her, but that's probably why she didn't come. So at least the real neat thing was, since it was October 31st, the band people were dressed up in different costumes, so I could actually tell which one Sarah was and which one Clay was. So that was pretty neat. Well, this morning we're going to do something a little bit different. I don't want you to turn in your Bible to the book of Daniel. That is different, isn't it? Because this is what we're going to do, all right? I think a number of you are probably on prophecy overload. We've been going through these different prophecies, starting with Babylon, and God just really revealing what's going to happen in the time of the Gentiles, that being, you know, the Babylon, and then Medo-Persian Empire, and Greece, and then Rome, and been looking at, you know, the 70 weeks that tells us when the Messiah is coming, and all of that amazing stuff. And some of you have that blank look like you have right now, all right, after going through all of those things. And I want you to really take the big picture. The big picture out of that. Don't worry so much about, oh, I can't remember, what was that horn and the poke that did this and did that? No! Alright, I just want you to get the understanding big picture of what's going on in Daniel. So, today we're going to step back and we're going to look at the whole book, or at least everything that we've covered, and we're going to do so through a test. Alright, so we're looking at the book of Daniel, and it is going to be a test. Alright, so I want you to write your name on the top. And I want you to write Book of Daniel test. And I am just changing something real quick. And don't write your friend's name on the top. I don't want to get 10 Richard Dewey tests in there. There was a precious moment at the football tournament at a crucial point in the game when Dewey, as the coach of the Eagles, was standing on the sideline. And I was like, hey, Dewey, what play are you going to call here? And he was like, play? And apparently the play was, hey, Quinn, throw it to someone. And I think it worked, which was, it was Dewey's brilliance there. All right. I would tell you what number to number to, except for some of your answers are going to be a little bit longer than others and so forth. Okay? But we're looking at the book of Daniel, and it is test time. How many of you guys really absolutely love tests? All right. All 12 of you out of this whole group that love tests. This is a test that is going to be not so much fun, but it's going to be informative. All right. And the way that this will work is if you're focused and you take it as you would take a test in a class. All right. Really think through, what is the answer there? Can I remember that? Some of it you might say, you know what? I wasn't there for that week. All right. Try your best. And in the end, when we go over everything, you'll get the answer. So it fills you in on some of the times that you might have missed. I'm sure most of you go online to countrysidebible.org, right, William? And you listen to the sermons that you might have missed, so you fill in all the gaps of your knowledge about the book. You guys that did that, that would be wonderful, all right? I appreciate that, okay? We don't have any first-time visitors here. I was going to let first-time visitors use their Bible, but we don't have any first-time visitors, so you guys should be okay, all right? What's going to happen is, I will give you the question up here. You don't have to write the question down. All right, I know someone's going to ask me in 5 minutes. Do I have to write the question? Don't write the question down. Just write the number. All right, and then start to answer that question. All right? Then after we go through all of the questions, after you've answered all of them, then we will go through the answers. Okay? Please answer these seriously. All right? Do not look on your partner's paper. This is not a partner test. This is a you test. I want to see what you know, and I want you to see what you do or what you do not know. All right? And hopefully this will help explain something that you might be confused about and so forth. All right? So number one, what is the main theme of the book of Daniel? So all you got to do, write number one. And some of you write so big, especially some of you girls and some of you guys who write like girls, that you may use both sides of the paper, but hopefully not. Think through, what is the main theme? What is God accomplishing through Daniel's writing here? What is the main theme? All right, and I want you to put a star next to that number one. Because if it is blank, then you have missed it. Because we've talked about that theme over and over and over again, because the book of Daniel talks about that theme over and over again. So instead of going out and, you know, chastising yourself, just remember when we go over the answer what it is and memorize it. Take it to heart. It'll take you about 1 second to do. All right? Two, list two examples where you see that theme in the book of Daniel. You say you know what the theme is. Where do you see that theme in the book of Daniel? How can you tell that that is the theme? For instance, the book of 1 Peter. Can anyone tell me what the theme to the book of 1 Peter is? That we've been going over? Stafford? I like it. Standing firm, the Christian's response to suffering. That's good. So then, of course, Peter is going to write things about standing firm and so forth. And everything that he's writing about goes along with that. Okay, what is it in Daniel that's going to confirm that? All right, that's going to show that theme. There should be two things that you can write down. Question number three. What happened to Jerusalem when Daniel was very young? And you guys that just came in, if there's a piece of paper on your chair, if you get a pencil, or if you don't have one, Dale can give you one. We are taking a test about what we know about the book of Daniel. What happened to Jerusalem when Daniel was very young? This goes to the background and the setting of this book, so you have an understanding of what is going on. And again, some of it, if you say, man, I really don't know. Well, when we go over things, I want you to learn about this so you do know. Because these are key points, gives you key insight into understanding all of this. Everyone got that? Everyone got number three? Everyone's got it aced? Peter's got this look on his face like, I got it. From Jerusalem, where was Daniel taken and what happened when he was brought there? From Jerusalem, where was Daniel taken and what happened when he was brought there? This also is not an open notes test, so you shouldn't have your binder open to all of the past lessons that you have neatly organized and collected. From Jerusalem, where was Daniel taken and what happened when he was brought there? All right, you don't have to give me the life story of what's happening. Just what's the basic idea of when Daniel was brought to that place? What started to happen? What was going on? Ben, I hope you're not bummed that we're taking a test on your birthday. This is my present to you, actually. All right? I know, it's a rotten present. Anyone need more time on number four? Again, let me remind you, this is not a partner test. You should not be talking to anyone around you. In chapter 1, how did Daniel and his friends show their devotion to God? It's starting to get a little bit easier, isn't it? Chapter 1, how did Daniel and his friends show their devotion to God? Number 6, and Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2, that dream, not the other dreams. Which kingdom goes with which part of the statue? Which kingdom goes with which part of the statue? Does anyone want to hear Ernie's answer so far? Anyone need a little more time on this one? In Nebuchadnezzar's dream, which kingdom goes with which part of the statue? Remember the dream from chapter 2? No one needs more time. All correct answers flowing around. Number 7. In chapter 4, what amazing work did God do in Nebuchadnezzar's life? William? Complaint? Inquiry? Yes. Just for that, William, you have to write the questions out now. Okay. And you can write out Nebuchadnezzar. All right, does anyone need more time for number 7? Anyone too shy to admit they need more time for number 7? I think Aiden's writing a paper over there. Yeah, if you want to go on the ski trip or Mexico, by the way, you have to score 90 or above. Number 8. What is the significance of the 70 weeks of Daniel chapter 9. Hey, no talking. You got to put it all together. There are 70 weeks in Daniel chapter 9. What's the importance of that? What's the significance? What is that revealing to us? It's really quite amazing. I'd remind you that you're to do this work on your own, not copy off the person next to you. There's a number of you that you probably don't want to be copying off of. What is the significance of the 70 weeks of Daniel chapter 9? Quinn, I know you came in a little bit late. Number one is, what is the main theme of Daniel and Abby? I'd hate for you guys to miss anything. Number nine, and Daniel's vision of the beasts. Which beast goes with which kingdom? Which beast goes with which kingdom? Remember, they were like a, or resembling a, could be. Hey, no comments from the peanut gallery up there. Chris, you have a question? Okay, because the first time I gave this test a couple years ago, I switched it around. So, D should say Rome. No, actually, that isn't the answer on D. That's, you got to tell me what the beast is. So the fourth beast is Rome. What beast was it? The first beast was Babylon. What beast was it? All right, number 10. What did the ram represent in Daniel chapter 8? And you're supposed to write it on your paper, CJ. I know you're happy you got the answer. William, you're about to start getting negative points. William's like, I already got negative points. No. I'm almost scared to look. What did the ram represent? In Daniel chapter 8. Chris asked for a hint. Okay, I'll give you a hint. It's from chapter 8. And it was a ram. Thought it'd help you out. You can imagine how much fun it was to be a fifth grader in my class when I taught school. The kids are still crying. Number 11. What did the goat represent? What did the goat represent? Remember, the goat was the unicorn goat? Alistair's gigging like a schoolgirl. I think he knows.
No, that's just Alistair.
What did the goat represent? All right, number 12. Who was the small horn of Daniel chapter 8? And who was he a foreshadowing of? So this is a two-part question. Who was the small horn of Daniel chapter 8? And who was he a foreshadowing of? Joseph Leggett would ever announce anything poorly. Hey, William, this is me, not Karen. Okay, how do you say it, William? No, kidding. Okay, we gotta move a little faster. I'm spoiling you with all this extra time. Who is the small horn, and who was he a foreshadowing of? Number 13. What happened to Belshazzar during and after his feast? You don't have to give me everything line for line. Give me the brief synopsis. He's at a feast. Does something stupid. Something bad happens, right? Number 14. In what chapter do you find the story of the fiery furnace? This is an easy one, okay? This is the layup. This is the slam dunk.
Daniel's a chapter in the Bible, right?
At least all you got to do is pick a number. Everyone has a good shot of getting this. Just pick a number. 15. Why was Daniel thrown in the lion's den? Eyes on your own paper, please, boys and girls. Why was Daniel thrown in the lion's den? Again, you don't have to give me a story here. Enough so I know. Number 16. What is your favorite part of the book of Daniel? Okay, now you can get this wrong. I've had people leave this blank before. That would be wrong. What was your favorite part of the book of Daniel? If the only thing you can... Yeah, donuts. The only thing you can remember is one of the questions that we did before. There you go. What's your favorite part? List two things that you can apply to your life from the book of Daniel. Two things. I want you to really think through this. Two things that from our study, our time in the book of Daniel, what can you take and apply it to your life? Don't give me the God is great. Okay, well, what do you mean by that? How does that apply to your life? While you're writing this, Lord willing, not next Sunday, the Sunday after that, we will wrap up the last three chapters of the book of Daniel in summary fashion. And then we will move on from the book of Daniel after that. All right, answer time. Not quite answer time. Thinking through your last answer time. All right, as we go through these, I want you to kind of, like number one, I definitely want you to correct it and write down the correct answer. Make sure you put an X if you get it wrong so you can count up how many you got and whatnot. Okay? Be processing through these so you know what the answer is in the future. What is the main theme of the book? This is the gimme. I gave you a gimme. This is like the easy one, all right? What is the main theme of the book of Daniel? Noah Irvin. God's sovereignty over the nations. God's sovereignty over the nations. If you didn't have that, write that down. All right? Write it on your hand. Write it on your forehead, whatever it may be. All right? Anytime you look at the book of Daniel, you should be thinking about God's sovereignty over the nations. Number two, there's two examples where you see that theme in the book of Daniel. Where do you see that theme? All right, you can give me one of them. McKinney, give me one of them.
The visions of the prophecy of what will come.
All right, visions of the prophecies of what will come. Because in those visions, it's telling you, God will raise up this kingdom, and then He'll destroy it with this kingdom that He's now raised up. And then He'll destroy it with that kingdom that He's raised up, and so forth, and so forth, and so forth. Yeah, absolutely. All right, the visions and the prophecies. What else? What other ways? Stafford? Yeah. Belshazzar, he gets prideful. God brings His whole kingdom down by bringing in another kingdom to overtake them. Absolutely. All right, what's something else? God's sovereignty over the nation. Joseph. Okay, what about chapter 1 through 12? Someone else. How do you see it? CJ. Yeah, even Babylon rising up and taking over Judah. Because the people had sinned against God. So God said, I'm going to rise up Babylon. He's going to come in and He's going to take you down. And He did. For how long did God say the people would be in captivity? 70 years, right? How long were they in captivity? What a quinky dink. That's amazing. All right. Yeah, Grace. Yeah, it turns Nebuchadnezzar into a beast, showing that he is mightier over even the mightiest of kings on the earth. Lots of examples that you should have. Make sure you have the right ones or it's wrong. All right. Number 3. What happened to Jerusalem when Daniel was very young? Caleb. Babylon took it over. Yes, there's a couple of different times that Babylon came in and took over Jerusalem. The last time that Jerusalem rose up against Babylon, he completely destroyed it. Completely destroyed it. When he came in and got Daniel, it probably wasn't one of the times when he came in and completely destroyed it, but he controlled it. So the first time that Nebuchadnezzar came, if you had something about overtaking Jerusalem, because there's a couple of different times that he comes in. First time he comes in, he takes away the cream of the crop of the people. Then he comes in not too long after that, destroys everything. From Jerusalem, where was Daniel taken and what happened when he was brought there? Aiden. Yeah, absolutely right. You know, he was taken to Babylon. He was put in this group of other people that are probably real close to your age, and they were trained in different languages and different knowledge and things like that so that they could be the wise men and so forth in the kingdom. Chris? Technically, you are correct, sir. All right. In chapter 1, how did Daniel and his friends show their devotion to God? Matt? Absolutely right. Even though that could have meant their doom and death. William?
So they ate vegetables and water, and God granted to them Ava.
Okay, there you go. I like that, all right? In Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2, tell me what part of the show. Who's the head of gold, McKenna?
Babylon.
Correct. The arms and chest of silver, Gage.
Cameron.
Oh no, I can't believe I did that. Yes, the Medo-Persian Empire. The waste of bronze, Grace. Grace is Greece. Yes, that is correct. All right, and the last one, Garrett.
Rome.
All right, Rome. This wasn't part of your test, but also it talks about the feet of clay, mixed clay and mixed iron. What is that to represent, CJ? The future Roman Empire, from which the Antichrist will spring out of. And then the stone comes in and smashes all of them. Stafford? The kingdom of God. The Lord Jesus Christ's kingdom. Again, another picture of God's sovereignty over these nations. All right, if I go too fast for you to write down the answers, all right, you can find Lindsay later and just copy her answers. I'm sure she got them all right. Okay, she's shaking her head now. Chapter 4. What amazing work did God do in Nebuchadnezzar's life? Give me some different hands. I'm getting some of the same hands. How about Luke? Yeah, turn him into a beast. If you got that, you're good. All right, but take it a little further. He turned him into a beast and then what?
Then he repented.
Yes, then he saved him. He repented. He went from a beast to a believer. What a remarkable thing that he did in Nebuchadnezzar's life. Showed him that Nebuchadnezzar was not all that in a bag of chips, that it was really God who controlled everything, and Nebuchadnezzar responded to that in repentance and faith and became a follower of the Lord God Almighty. What is the significance of the 70 weeks of Daniel chapter 9? Not everyone at once. All right? Logan. All right. So, okay, I'll give you that for the significance of how they got the number. What is it telling you about, though, Andrew? Not quite the coming back to Israel, but that's in part of that, with that prophecy. All right, so we're kind of tracking there. All right, Noah. Yeah. The coming of the Messiah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the hard thing with the 70 weeks of Daniel is different scholars disagree on when the exact timing of the decree happened. But what's amazing is that it talks about those 69 weeks. You have those 69 weeks, which represent a week is 7 years, right? To that time, for whatever the starting point of that prophecy, then the Messiah was going to come. And the Messiah came, and it's like, whoa. That is amazing. And then it also tells us about that 70th week that's going to happen in the future, which jives perfectly with that whole future Roman Empire that's going to be and it's going to arise. And it's just beautiful how God works all of that together. All right. So amazing, amazing passage about the significance of when the Messiah would be here in his rule. All right. And Daniel's vision of the beast, which beast goes with which kingdom. All right. Matt. Give me the first one.
Lion.
Yeah, like a lion. All right, someone else give me the next one. Abby.
Bear.
Like a bear. Give me the Greece one, Lisa. Like a leopard. The fourth beast, which is Rome. Cameron.
An indescribable, terrible,
kind of one. Yeah, a big old, dreadful, nasty, mean beast. You could call it a Noah beast if you wanted to. I would accept that as a correct answer. Yeah, that was the one that looked like my dog. What did the ram represent in Daniel chapter 8? Logan. The ram, let me think. Yes, Medo-Persian Empire. That is correct, sir. Then you had the unicorn goat. Who was the unicorn goat? Alistair.
Greece.
Alistair's been waiting this whole time, not raising his hand, saying, I want to answer the one about Greece. And the... For extra bonus points, which you get no credit for, all right, the unicorn horn was who? Alistair?
Alexander the Great.
Alexander the Great. Number 12, who is the small horn of Daniel chapter 8? Christian. Okay, wait. William, give us your pronunciation of it.
Antiochus. That's the way it's supposed to be said.
Okay, that sounds good. Antiochus?
Antioch.
Well, he gets extra points because he said it like I said it. But William very well could be right. Okay, yeah. Antiochus Epiphanes the Fourth, and he was a foreshadowing of who? Stafford. The Antichrist. Noah. No half credit here, people. And that's exactly when the fifth grader starts crying. No half credit. Sit down. What happened to Belshazzar during and after his feast? Okay, let me see your hand. Ernie. The handwriting came on the wall. Why did the handwriting come on the wall? Hey, quiet in the peanut gallery. Ernie. Yes. Remember when Nebuchadnezzar came in, at the same time he took Daniel, he took instruments that were to be instruments of worship from the temple, He brought them and put them in the temple of his God. Belshazzar gets prideful and says, bring those instruments in. We're going to celebrate with them. And he is going to... Well, what's going to happen to Belshazzar because of his folly, Joseph? Yes, kingdom is going to be taken over. He's going to die, absolutely. And what chapter do you find the story of the fiery furnace? Well, let me say this too. I'm sure when Daniel's talking about that, he's like, I already knew that this kingdom was going to overtake you. I mean, if you had asked me about that, I could have told you, because he'd already received, you know, talked to Nebuchadnezzar about the statue thing. It's pretty neat to see just how all it came. Because it's not like Daniel was shocked that, oh no, they're going to take over Babylon. He already knew that was going to happen. What chapter do you find the story of the fiery furnace? Or? Dale. How do you remember that, Dale? He taught it. I'm sure you all remember that Dale taught that. Daniel chapter 3. Why was Daniel thrown in the lion's den, CJ? Because he prayed. They made that decree. All right, those sneaky guys that look like celery from VeggieTales. Were they the celery? They came in. Wait. Noah, do you have a correction here? Were they like onion things? Is that what they were? Whatever. Either way, it's something I'm not going to eat. All right? They told the king to make that decree that they should only pray to him. Daniel refused and would only pray to the God Almighty. All right? What was your favorite part of the book of Daniel? Garrett? Visions and prophecies. Cool. Chris?
All that math stuff.
All the math stuff. All right? Alistair? Oh. Okay, wait. Alistair, your ski trip is free now. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Cameron. Absolutely. That was amazing. They stood up, did what was right before the Lord. He preserved their life. Caleb. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you think that's so amazing. You know, if a piece of chicken falls on the floor in our house, I can say, no, Grace, don't. No, that's my dog. It doesn't matter. She is going to eat that piece of chicken, no matter, even if I try to tackle her. Meat was thrown to these lions, and they're hungry and ravenous, and they didn't eat him because of God's amazing power. One more favorite part. Angela. Yeah, man, that is such a beautiful, beautiful picture. Such a beautiful picture. You know, relating that to us, some of you here may have never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You would be that beast that Nebuchadnezzar was turned into. You know, I even urge you today to repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He will miraculously change your life. All right? Number 17, list two things that you can apply to your life from the book of Daniel. Campbell, give me one of them. Absolutely. You know, we still care for our country. We definitely pray for our country. You know, we take part in the activities of our country, but we understand that whatever happens, even though if somehow we had the worst president you could ever imagine, whatever that may look like, doesn't matter. God's in control. Caleb. Yeah, absolutely. God has a plan to do exactly what He wants to do. Joseph. Yeah, not to be proud. You see that over and over again, right? With the ram and the goat and with Belshazzar and with Nebuchadnezzar. Man, fight pride in your life. Recognize it. Recognize it. Pray every day that the Lord would make you a humble, humble person, a humble servant. Lisa. Absolutely. You guys may not be thrown into a fiery furnace. You may not be thrown in a lion's den, but you face hard things each and every single day. And you're in this world of opposition, and you can trust in God's faithfulness throughout that. McKenna.
God's sovereignty
Yeah, absolutely. And he's working all things for the good of those who love him, right? In Romans 8. That's just so wonderful. Logan. Absolutely. Absolutely. And stand firm and follow God even when it doesn't cost you your life too, right? Campbell, did you have another one you're going to put? Yes, absolutely. Let that be in the forefront of your mind. God fulfilled a huge portion of those prophecies in Daniel 9, and He fulfilled them exactly how He said He would. There's still prophecy to come. There's still prophecy that is going to be fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ when He comes again and establishes kingdom, destroys the Antichrist, and defeats Satan. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You so much for this morning and this time together. I thank You that we can just take a step back and have a good look at what the book of Daniel is about, Lord. I pray that we would take these things that we talked about applying in our lives, and I pray that we really would, that we would trust You and understand that You have a plan, that we would combat pride in our life, Lord God, that we would trust in You through all circumstances, Lord God. I pray that this knowledge that we talked about and learned today would be something that would go with us for years and years and years, Lord, and that we would remind ourselves of this. We're to be students of Your Word, so we should be able to call to mind the things that we have been taught. Thank You for this time, Lord God, and I appreciate just your faithfulness to us. In Your Son's name we pray. Amen.